she mention this? I want to take a moment to thank everyone who wrote in our Advent devotional. Thank you, Rob, for lifting that up for people. And yesterday I picked up a copy and read the whole thing. I was very excited at what people had written, and I hope that you use that as a guide during the Advent season as we worship together. This morning, I'm going to be starting a series talking about faith, because so many of the characters in the story surrounding the Christmas story had to have faith. And I want to talk a little bit about how that affects us and what we do about faith. In the first worship service, I had a little bit more time to develop this. I asked four people ahead of time if they would think of three things to tell the congregation about their life. Two of them true, one of them not true. And they came up and shared those three things, and then the congregation had to decide which one was not true. It was a fun game. And the point of that is that there's something inside of us that looks at a person and who they are and how they behave. And when we hear something about them, we say, does that match up with what I know about this person? Okay? Does that match up with what I know about this person? So, when they told their lie, some of it was very clear. Some people picked a lie that was very clear. And others, not so much. It was nearly not so clear. Lewis Brathwaite's lie was that he graduated at the top of his class in mortuary school. He, in fact, went to mortuary school. He said he did not graduate in the top of his class. You know, we look at someone and we say, do I believe that to be true or not? And the reason why I lift this up is because when it comes to faith, there are some elements of faith that we need to look at. And one element of faith that we're going to look at today is, are you willing to believe, fill in the blank, about God? See, if I were to stand up here and to ask you all the question, just sitting in the pews, do you believe that God can do anything? Your answer would be yes. And it's in part because it's the right answer. But when it comes to daily life, when we face challenges and problems, we don't always have that same strong answer, that same strong trust that God can do anything in the midst of it. So we want to look at a story today that talks about a person wrestling with this very issue. It's found in Luke chapter 1, if you'd put that up for me. And Luke chapter 1 is a story about Zechariah. Zechariah, David, I'm not sure the projector's on. Zechariah is a priest who is older and is in service to God in Jerusalem. They went through literally a rotation where they would serve for a time in Jerusalem, offering up sacrifices before God. And then once their time of service was over, they would go home and serve in their local synagogue rather than in the temple. And this is where Zechariah was. He was serving his time in the temple. And the scripture says that he went into the part of the temple where the altar of incense was. And it says, then the angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah, to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. The altar of incense was where they would burn incense as a representation of prayer. It would be burning all the time, so they needed a priest to continually stoke that fire and make sure that incense was burning as a symbol of prayer going up before God all the time. And it says that the angel appeared standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Now, there's a symbolism to this because we find out later in the story that Zechariah had been praying for a long time for something. And so the angel stands next to the symbol of prayer when he appears. And it says, when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. There are times when angels are portrayed as cute. But the Bible never portrays angels as cute. Angels are always portrayed in a way that leaves people feeling afraid because they've met the holy. This isn't a chubby baby with wings on it. Okay, this is a holy being of God that shows up here. And it says he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard." Now, what was his prayer? Well, he was an old man. And the scripture says he, it looks like he didn't have children. We know for certain that he didn't have a son. And so he's been asking God over and over again for a son. "Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you're to give him the name John." This was John the Baptist. This was his son, going to be John the Baptist. "He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth." Now, as a parent who's about to have a new baby, it's really nice to know that people will rejoice in your child ahead of time. If the angel had shown up and said, "By the age of 23, he's going to be spending time in prison," that would be a different story. But he said, no, people will rejoice over his birth. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or any other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people in Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of their fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So he literally has a small speech, the angel does, sharing with him who this boy is going to be, what he's going to do, the effects he'll have on the world, what his place is in God's plan with regard to the Messiah, all this stuff he has laid out before him. And Zechariah's response is, how do I know this is true? How do I know you're telling me the truth? His literal words are, how can I be sure of this? Now, he's not questioning the timing of this in terms of, are you sure you got the right time on this? Or he's not questioning whether he's got the right person. He's saying, I'm not sure God can do this. I'm an old man, he says, and my wife is well along in years. Are you sure that God can take an old man and an old woman and give them a child? Now, the ironic thing is that in his very Bible was a story about an old man and an old woman who had been given a child, Abraham and Sarah. But when you know stuff in your head, it's different than to live it in your life and have it stand up within you in your heart. And we know that to be true, don't we? It's a different thing when you're called upon to stand up and have faith. The angel's answer was very plain. I am Gabriel. He tells him who he is. Now, to us, that may not make any kind of a sense. It may not have any relation, except apparently the name Gabriel was well known in heaven. And the Bible talks about angels and archangels. So there is, it appears, a ranking among angels. There is status, almost like in the military. And Gabriel was highly regarded as an angel. And it says, I stand in the presence of God. I get to stand right at God's throne. This is where I am as an angel. This is my importance in the kingdom of God. And I've been sent from God himself to speak to you and tell you this good news. This news comes directly from God himself. And now, by the way, I think preachers have always had a hard time shutting up. Because his quote-unquote punishment was, and now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens. Because you did not believe me. You did not believe my words. Which, regardless of whether you believe them or not, will come true at their proper time. Regardless of whether you believe this, this is going to happen because God has already designed it to happen. Now, here's what I think was happening inside of Zechariah. Zechariah probably got married, and he and his wife Elizabeth had dreams about how they were going to build a house and how they were going to have kids and fill it. And when the holidays came, they were going to have everybody over, and they were going to go and they were going to be involved in sports and dance and cheerleading and all the stuff that happens in life. And as the years passed by, they didn't have kids. And Zechariah, who's a priest, everybody said, "What's wrong with you? Don't you have connections?" Because that's what you say to priests and pastors, right? That's why we pray at picnics, because we have connections. So Zechariah prayed. And he prayed, 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 and he prayed. And he wasn't given a child. And over time, what happened to him was his trust in God began to erode. It wasn't that he stopped believing in God or who God was. He didn't give up the priesthood. He didn't stop worshiping God. None of that stuff. It was his trust in God began to slowly erode over time. Because when you ask and 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 nothing happens, you start to have hard conversations inside of you. Is this about me? Why isn't this happening? Am I being punished? And you go through a whole litany of stuff in your head about this. Now, I want you to step aside from Zechariah for just a minute, and I want you to see this from God's perspective. Because from God's perspective, God had a gift for Zechariah. He had a son for him. The plan was that this son would be very special, and there was a very special timing to this son, and when this son was going to come, and what this son was going to do, and who this son was going to be. It wasn't just that he was going to get a son. He was going to get a son who was going to introduce the Messiah to the world. And that involved a long set of plans and a set of timing that was very meticulous in God's world. And as Zechariah waited and waited and waited and waited, he came to a point where he said, "The sun has set on this idea. This is not going to happen." Why? Because God can't make it happen any longer, because we're old. And if you'd ask Zechariah, "Do you believe that God could do anything?" What do you think his answer would be? Of course he can. Of course he can. God can do anything. But when it ran up against this problem and this particular mountain in his life, his trust in God had eroded enough that when he was asked the question, "Do you believe that God is the person who can do this for you at this time, because this is the news he has," his response is, "I'm not so sure about that." Even though it's an angel sent directly from God with a message right for Zechariah. You and I have inside ourselves this detector. And it allows us to determine how trustworthy we think people are. And we use it all the time. It's to protect us, pretty much, isn't it? So you can meet somebody, and in the first couple of minutes, you can decide whether you think they're trustworthy. Now, I'm not saying that you would necessarily give them your wallet or your keys. But after 5 or 10 minutes, you can be with somebody and say, "You know what, I think that's a person that I could get to know better or like or get to relate to a little bit more. Or that's a person that I don't, there's something about them that just doesn't, it's not right. I don't trust them, whatever it is. They have shifty eyes, whatever it is." Right? And that mechanism inside us happens in all of our relationships, because our relationships are based upon trust, and faith is really trust. Faith is ultimately about trust. And what it had come down to was that Zechariah had been disappointed enough that it had eroded his sense of trust in who God was and what God could do. You sure you have this message right? How can this be? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. Now here's the interesting thing. God wanted Zechariah to work through this issue. So he closed his mouth so he'd have to think about it. Every time he went to talk, he couldn't talk. Because he was being pushed by God not to ignore this. See, here's what happens to us. When we trust someone, we let them into our lives. When we don't trust someone, we keep them at a distance, even if it's respectful, right? This is how we are. So if someone comes to your house and you don't trust them, you keep them in the driveway. You know. You trust them a little bit more, you let them in the living room. Some people come to your door, they knock. You wonder, who are you? Do you open the door? Maybe a crack. I just want to find out who you are. You really trust somebody, you let them in your kitchen for a cup of coffee, right? The more you trust somebody, the further you let them into your house. The less you trust somebody, unless they're family, at which point in time you have no choice. The further you keep them away. And the same is true for God. The more you trust God, the closer you allow him to get. And the less you trust him, the more you consciously or unconsciously push God away. And God is telling Zechariah, you have to deal with this. Because even though in your head you believe that I'm a God who could do this, in your heart you no longer believe that because you've experienced such hurt and such pain because of disappointment in your life. And you've refused to actually deal with it. You've just become religious to cover it up. But religion is not a substitution for trust in a relationship with God. What God wanted Zechariah to do was to say, you know what, you're right. Over the years, my disappointment has gotten me to the point where I would look at you and say, God, you have just left me behind. You have not listened to me. You have not heard my heart. And I honestly wonder if you care about me. And at this point in time, I wonder if you can, much less even will, if you can do anything about it. These weren't the lepers crying out, heal me. He didn't have that anymore. He didn't have that. And so God steps into the middle of Zechariah's disappointment and he says, this is going to happen. And what I want you to do is I want you to just be quiet for a while. And I want you to think and I want you to listen until the day that you actually see that I am who I said I am. And I was that person all along. Now, I'm not standing up here telling you that God answers all your prayers. Can I just tell you, thank God, God doesn't answer all our prayers? Last Sunday during our service at the front porch, we had a young lady who declared that she was grateful that God hadn't answered all her prayers because she'd asked for some dumb stuff. And there are times when God just says no to us. There are plenty of times, however, when we just don't understand. We don't see the picture. We don't see the plan. Instead of trusting in him, instead of dealing with our eroding trust in him, we just continue to drive to church and read our devotional and do our thing. But there builds a slow and steady distance between us and God. It's not good. at all. And when God came, he brought him good news. The most exciting news that he'd ever wanted, and he wasn't in a place to even really receive it, which is sad, isn't it? As children, we have a hard time understanding the big picture as we live in it. For years now, my family and I have gone out with another family in the church to get a Christmas tree. In part because we were invited years ago to go with them to get a Christmas tree because relatives of theirs purchased some property that used to be a Christmas tree farm. So we'd drive up to their relative's house and cut down a Christmas tree for free. And I like free. Now, I said it used to be a Christmas tree farm. The people that are on the property are no longer tending the trees. They're no longer trimming them and all that. So last year when we went, we got a tree again, but we said to each other, this is the last time because the trees are starting to grow out of shape and all this stuff, and they're getting gigantic. See, we have a house with a great room that has 17-foot ceilings. So our children have always known us to have gigantic trees because we could fit them in the house, and they were free. So every year we've bought... We've gotten a 14-foot tree because it'll fit in the house, barely. 2,000 Christmas lights. It's beautiful and free. But this year we decided that we were going to go out and pay for a tree. So we went out yesterday looking for a Christmas tree. And we are walking through the field as the kids are pushing along the Christmas tree cart. And one of my children kept saying, they're all too small. They're not 24 feet tall. And we said, well, that's because people don't usually get 16-foot Christmas trees. They get 6-foot Christmas trees. We've just done it because it's free. But I want a big Christmas tree. An hour. But I want a big Christmas tree. They tried this one too. Where are we going to put all the gifts? The tree's too small. I said, we'll just have to take all the extra ones back. Unbelievable. And all the way home. And I finally said, children, the Christmas trees over 8 feet tall cost $65. So here's the deal. We can go back and cut down a 15-foot tree and bring it home if you want to, but I'm taking the extra $30 and returning one of your gifts to get it. And they said, we like the tree, Dad. We untied it. It's 8 feet tall, for goodness sakes. We untied it and put it in the space, and they're like, oh, it looks bigger than we thought it would. And I said, I know. Sometimes you just have to trust Dad. See, they don't understand all the economics and the size and what it looks like in the field versus what it looks like in home. They don't get all that. Why? Because they're kids. And their heart just says, I want a big Christmas tree. That's all. And my heart is a lot like theirs. I don't always understand. I don't always have all the details. I don't have the perspective. And sometimes I can whine and gripe when God has a great gift for me because I just don't see it. Because I haven't yet gotten to the point of trusting in who my Father is and what he has for me. Which is really what it comes down to. Do I believe that I serve a good God who loves me And when I face the daily stuff of life, not in my head, but in my attitude, in my response, in the way that I talk, and how I act when things don't go just like I'd like them to go, do I believe in a God who says that he's a father that gives good gifts? And are there things in life that have eroded my sense of trust in God? Pain or disappointment or heartache or hard times. And because I want to be a good kid, have I just kind of swept them under the carpet and said, we're just not going to deal with that because I don't know how to deal with that. And in this story, God says, look, when you do that, you're affecting our relationship. We know that, don't we? With any other human being, when we have something that's there and we don't talk about it, it's there between us. It can be years and it's still between us. And it affects the level of trust that we have, which affects how close we allow somebody to get to us, which is God's ultimate desire. And so the invitation to you this morning is this. What are you willing to believe about God? And what are you willing to do about your disappointment and your frustrations when you haven't gotten what you wanted? Let's pray. Father, your word tells us a lot about you. In fact, Jesus came and told us that he was the Son of God, and that he came because he was with you in the beginning, knew all about you, and could tell us who you are because he was one with you. And even though we read it, and even though our head tells us that we should believe it, there are moments when we confess we don't. There's a breakdown in trust somewhere, God. What this ultimately comes down to is your credibility, Father, which should never really be in question. But in our humanness, it can sometimes be in question. And just like Zechariah said, how in the world could God possibly do this? I'm old. There are places and times where we say, how could God possibly do this? So help us. Help us to be honest with you about those times where we've gotten angry at you or feel like you've fallen short against our expectations in some ways. Maybe it's that we believe something about you that wasn't true and we were disappointed in it because it wasn't true at all to begin with. Or maybe it's because it had to do with your timing or that you knew what was best for us. Regardless, those moments still lie within us, and we know that they're there. Give us the courage to talk to you about them, to work through them, and to trust you again. To allow you as close as you desire to be with us. And thank you that you have not given up on us. Thank you that you love us so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.